Right, definitely awake now. Please have your Bible open at Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the verses that Matty read to us just a few minutes ago. And I wondered if you've been here the past few Sunday evenings as we've started in our series in Mark, whether you've heard the phrase, I know you have, but basically sounds something a little bit like, Mark doesn't hang around, does he? He goes from one scene to the next scene, to the next scene, to the next one, at a pace that is hard to keep up with. And as I was reading through the first few chapters again, it struck me how quickly, not only did Mark go, but how quickly did the following, did the interest, did the, if I can use this word, popularity in Jesus go? So we read in Mark chapter 1, didn't we? That Jesus was baptized, he was tempted in the desert, and then he begins his ministry. And then already by the end of Mark chapter 1, we see that people coming to him from every quarter. The interest in Jesus was already beginning to build. We get to Mark chapter 2. Jesus is in a house that is standing room only. There are people trying to get into the house and they can't get in. It's such as is the interest in him, the popularity in him. And four friends, well, I think it's four because I always think one have got hold of each corner. Four friends, I want friends like this, bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. And they're clever, these friends. When they can't get past the crowd, they can't get past the throng, what do? They go up on the roof and they come through the ceiling to get their friend in front of Jesus. We read in Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 7, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan, and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. The young people would say, Jesus has gone viral. Obviously not the modern day version, but the olden day Palestine version. He's gone viral. His popularity is increasing. The interest is growing. We read in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, start of our passage tonight. Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. A great crowd. We don't know how many there were, but I know in a couple of chapters' time, we're going to read that Jesus fed 5,000 men with a couple of fish finger sandwiches. So it doesn't include the women, doesn't include the children. So we know, we get a sense that Jesus was attracting crowds of thousands of people. Can you imagine him? On his boat, a few meters out. And the congregation, not on chairs, not on pews. Don't like these chairs, don't like the pews, whatever we sit on. Imagine being on rocks and sand. And what does Jesus do amongst all this interest, amongst this popularity, amongst all this noise? Does what he always does. He heals, he loves, he preaches, and he teaches. And tonight, we're going to read what Mark records is the first parable that Jesus told. It's often called the parable of the sower. Some people call it the parable of the four soils. And it begins with a request. It's a very simple request. Listen, verse 3, listen. The ESV puts an exclamation mark behind the word listen, almost to emphasize it. Listen. The parable starts with listen, and it finishes with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Put your hand up if you've got ears. 3 of you, 10 of you, great. We've all got ears, so we're definitely being asked to hear tonight. Listen, hear. I'm very aware that the parable of the sower, for many here, will be very familiar. If it's the first time you've heard it, you're in for a treat. But I imagine many here will have heard it umpteen times. So with that in mind, let's read verse 10. And when he, Jesus, was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. The 12 disciples, those closest to the Lord, in his inner circle, with him 24/7, able to ask the most questions, able to have the most time with the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked with his own two human feet on this earth, didn't get it. didn't understand. So if you think the parable of the sower is familiar, if you think you've heard it all before, if you think you've seen it all before, surely the fact that the disciples didn't get it is a challenge, is an encouragement to you to listen, to hear. Verse 11, let's carry on with Jesus. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The Lord requests that we listen and hear. Somebody sent me a text message this week. I was talking to them about parables, and it simply said, parables reveal truth to those who listen and hear. Parables conceal truth to those who don't listen and hear. Jesus says, to you, disciples, has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Our request tonight, to the Lord, your request, my request, should be that the Lord would reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God, the truth to us, that we would listen and hear, that you and I would, metaphorically speaking, see and perceive, that you and I, literally and supernaturally speaking, would hear and understand. I wonder if just in your chair, just before we really start to read the parable together, will you just say a quick prayer to the Lord, and I'll pray, asking him to help you to listen, to hear, and for him to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God to you. So back in verse 3, let's carry on. Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. Behold, the farmer went out to farm. You can rephrase it like that. It doesn't really matter, but it's a familiar picture. It was a familiar picture then, and it's a familiar picture now. Back then, in that agricultural society, sowing, growing, and harvesting was what everybody did. If you didn't grow it, if you didn't catch it, you didn't eat it. It was a familiar picture. Everybody would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about. It's a familiar picture even now, isn't it? In our modern day, city living, supermarkets, easy way of shopping and growing things. Don't do it, do we? Just go and buy it. Even to us, it is familiar. Even we understand that a farmer needs to plant a seed, grow a crop and harvest it for us to buy it in Tesco's. So it's a familiar picture. Verse 4, and as he sowed some seed. Let's just have a quick think about the seed. Jesus tells us in verse 14 that the sower sows the word. Jesus is telling us that in the parable, the seed represents the word. God's word, the Bible, 66 books written by roughly 40 authors over a period of about 2,000 years, inspired by one Holy Spirit, proclaiming one God and directing us and showing us that there is only one way to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news. And the same seed is scattered on various soils, but the seed does not change, just as God's word does not change. Just to use some legal jargon, God's word is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And just to go a step further, it's the truth today, it was the truth yesterday, and it'll be the truth tomorrow. The seed doesn't change, and God's word doesn't change. But the soil that it lands on does. And Jesus tells us that there are four types of soil that represent four different responses that people give to hearing God's word. Let's take a look at these responses. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. The path is solid. It's rock hard. The seed hasn't got a chance of germinating. It hasn't got a chance of growing a root. The only chance it's got is of becoming bird food. Jesus goes on to tell us in verse 15, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. This is the response of a hard heart. God's word is shared, it's proclaimed. If it's listened to, if it's heard, the best it does for someone with a hard heart is go in one ear and out the other. They don't give it a second thought. They're not prepared to consider, to think about, to chew over, to reflect on God's word and what it might, what it could, what it might mean for them, possibly. Sin has hardened their heart. I've met people with a hard heart. Perfectly lovely, reasonable people who I could go for a walk in a park with and have a lovely chat. Talk about family and football and food and whatever else. And the moment I talk about my faith or the Lord, they have shut me down. They have closed me down. They have said, not for me, thanks. Don't want to know. Don't want to listen. Save that for someone else. I'm one of those people who did a degree and I've never used it in my working life ever. I did a degree in chemistry and I'm now in insurance. Go figure. But doing my degree, I spent a lot of time with budding scientists and actual scientists. And I met some lovely scientists without hard hearts. But I did meet plenty with very hard hearts. When I went to share my faith or anything of the Lord, I would get responses like, science gets rid of God, don't bother. Science disproves God, don't bother. I'm not going to think about it, don't talk to me about it. They closed me down. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight with a hard heart. I did think that sounds like a stupid question, doesn't it? Somebody would choose, use that word loosely, to come to Bridge Chapel, to sing songs of praise, to hear the word being read, hear the word being explained, pray, and still sit here with a hard heart. Is that possible? I think it might be. I think there could be somebody here who is obligated to be here. Maybe you're obligated because your parents make you come. Maybe you're obligated because your friends are here and you feel like you have to come to fit in. You don't want to miss out. Maybe you're obligated because your partner, your husband, your wife is here. Jesus says, listen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, and he will reveal to you the truth, the secrets of the kingdom of God. Please, if that's you, if you've hardened your heart tonight, don't. Listen. Hear. Next, we read that other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Sounds like my patio. Shallow levels of soil. The seed finds a home. It grows quickly, but there's no root, no space for a root. So as soon as the sun comes, as soon as the heat comes, it's scorched and it withers and it dies. Jesus says in verse 16, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. This is the response of a shallow heart. The initial response suggests somebody who listens, who hears, who understands, who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes the gospel for their own, who proclaims his name, but it's only skin deep. Their heart isn't changed. Their heart was never transformed. I wonder if there's anybody here like that. Maybe acting like a follower of Jesus, like a church attender, maybe it's a lifestyle choice for you. Not a change of heart. Maybe you want to fit in and not repent. And how will you know someone with a shallow heart? Well, when trials and tribulations, when tougher times come along on account of the word, on account of their faith, we see their true colours. True faith, forsaking all, I trust him. In the good days, in the bad days, that's true faith. Someone with a shallow heart, forsaking all, I trust him when it's going great. Forsaking all, I trust him when it's going hard. No, thank you, I'm off. Being a follower of Jesus is not like having a gym membership. It's not like a National Trust membership or an AA membership. You can't subscribe when you want it, cancel it when you don't, play with your direct debit. True following of Jesus has deep rooted faith that stands in the good times and the bad times. Next, we see in verse 7 that other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The seed takes hold, it begins to grow, but then the thorns and the weeds and the brambles also begin to grow, and eventually they overtake and they choke and they strangle and they stifle and stop until it's unfruitful. Jesus says in verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is the response of a choked heart. You could say strangled. You could say divided. The word takes hold, but it's eventually snuffed out. Unlike the previous soil, you'll notice it's not necessarily tribulation, challenge, difficulty, persecution. That's the issue here. It's commandment number one. I see people go, what's commandment number one again? Quickly, quickly, which one is it? You shall have no other gods before me, says the Lord. See, the Lord deserves the number one spot in your heart. He commands it. He won't accept anything else. It is the very least that you and I can do for him is give him that place of honor, the place he deserves. However, in this world, that number one spot is constantly under attack. That number one spot is constantly being challenged. The throne of your heart, there are other things constantly trying to pull God off and put themselves on in his place. They are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. Do you know the list that encompasses those three areas, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things? It's a long list. I couldn't possibly, with another hour, tell you them all. But here are a few, just to challenge you, just to ask you to ask yourself, who's or what sits on the throne of my heart? Is it the Lord? Or is it money? Power? Position? Is it stuff? Clothes and cars? Gizmos and gadgets? Is it the size of your house? Is it your popularity or your image? Your likes or your follows? Is it sex? Drugs? Alcohol? Sport? Football? Is it family? Is it your children? Is it your health? Who do you give the throne of your heart to? If it's not the Lord, why not? Lastly, another seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This soil allows the seed to do what it was meant to do, to grow deep roots, to flourish, to flower, to produce fruit. This is the response of a receiving heart. Jesus says, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the heart that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and is completely transformed. Will the owners of a transformed heart, will they be free from trials, from tribulations, from difficulties, from tough times? Of course not. But they will have deep-rooted faith that will allow them to stand when those times come. Will the owners of these receiving hearts, these transformed hearts, be free from temptation, found in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches? Of course not. course not. But they, in their changed heart, will have been turned, will have forgiven, and the Lord will uphold them, and they will maintain him as king of their lives, king of their hearts, always. And the big difference? They will bear fruit. So, right here, right now, I'd like to ask you a few questions. These questions hopefully are a little bit familiar to you because they're the same questions that we're going to ask at the end of each sermon going through the book of Mark over the next few weeks. But please don't let the answers to these questions be familiar to you. Please consider your response. So first of all, what do we learn about who Jesus is and what he came to do? Well, from this parable, we know the sower in the story is Jesus. And we know the sower brings and shares the seed, just like Jesus shares his word with us. The sower sows the seed indiscriminately. He sows it liberally, hoping that much would find good soil, grow deep roots, flourish, flower, bear fruit. Jesus brings and shares his word, his gospel, his good news. He does so indiscriminately. He does so liberally, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you look like, regardless of your background, regardless of what you've done, regardless of how you feel, regardless of whether you think you're too good, regardless of whether you think you're good enough, he brings his word that if you will listen and you will hear and understand, then in verse 12 he says, you will turn and be forgiven. What did Jesus come to do? Bring good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How do people respond to Jesus? Well, Jesus has just shown us in this parable there are at least four responses. We won't go through them all again. That would be a very long sermon. But can I ask you to maybe consider just one more time? Can I ask you to come with me and simplify it even one step more? Whilst Jesus shows us there are four responses, can I suggest actually, ultimately, there are only two? You either listen and hear, understand and accept the good news that Jesus brings and are saved and are redeemed and have a hope of heaven, or you don't. There is no sitting on the fence. Is Jesus your saviour? Which leads me on to, how do you think you should respond to Jesus? If you don't know Jesus tonight, can I ask you to listen, really listen, hear. Don't take what you've heard tonight lightly. Consider it, chew over it, and respond to it. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life. And as he says in verse 12, your heart will be turned, and you will be forgiven. If you do know him tonight, I have a challenge for you. I have an encouragement for you. Can you follow his example? Jesus takes the seed, he takes God's word, and he scatters it. He broadcasts it. He shares it. He tells us some is going to land on shallow soil and divided soil. He tells us that it's not all going to land on good soil, but he still scatters it and shares it and spreads it. If you know him tonight, will you follow his example this week? Will you take God's word? Will you share it? Will you broadcast it? Will you tell people? How did you come to hear about the Lord? Because somebody told you. So can I challenge you? Can I ask you a question? This week, who are you going to tell about the Lord Jesus? Jesus says, listen. He closes his parable with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray.